I'd like to bring the meeting back to order again. With that, I'm going to move on to the mayor's report today, and that, I have a number of items on there. Let's talk, Little Norway Festival for 2026 begins next week. Petersburg will be celebrating our Norwegian heritage with many community events. The schedule can be found on Chamber of Commerce website at www.petersburg.org. Wishing everyone a safe and enjoyable celebration. Emergency EMS Week Proclamation. Governor Mike Dunleavy has proclaimed May 17th to the 23rd as Emergency Medical Services Week in Alaska. EMS Week highlights the critical role these responders play in protecting public health and safety, often serving on the front lines of emergencies in our communities. The proclamation is attached to the agenda. Federal legislation, H.R. 8401. This legislation introduced by Congressman Begich would amend the Marine Mammals Protection Act of 1972 to allow the transport and sale of pelts and related products made from northern sea otters taken for lawful subsistence purposes in South Central and Southeast Alaska. If enacted, the bill would support Alaska's native cultural practices, provide new economic opportunities through the sale of unaltered and minimally altered pelts, and help address sea otter population impacts on commercial and subsistence harvest. I have a couple of retirements I'd like to announce here. Sergeant Derek Thorsten, the Petersburg Police Department would like to recognize and congratulate Sergeant Thorsten on his retirement after 25 years of dedicated service to the Petersburg community. Throughout his career, Sergeant Thorsten has served Petersburg professionalism, commitment, and a steady dedication to public safety. His years of service reflect a deep commitment to the people of this community, his fellow officers, and the mission of the Petersburg Police Department. Over the past 25 years, Sergeant Thorsten has been part of countless calls, investigations, community events, and moments where Petersburg residents needed help. His experience, leadership, and service has made a lasting impact on the department and the community he served. And then I'm going to move on to the retirement announcement for Chris Weiss from the library. Thank you to Chris Weiss, who's retiring after 38 years of service to the borough. I think she was the longest serving employee, to the borough at the public library. Throughout her career, she helped guide the library through major technological changes from the earliest days of dial-up internet to today's high-speed connectivity. She served in many roles, including clerk, tech support specialist, and passport acceptance agent, helping connect her community to information and to the wider world. We thank Chris for her dedication, innovation, and lasting contributions, and wish her all the best in her retirement. Thank you, Chris. And with that, we'll move on to the manager's report.
I will try to make this fast. Stephanie covered some of the status on the Aquatic Center. She talked about the ground radar. What we're doing is trying to make sure we can identify where existing pipes and conduit is so that when we go to cut the floor to replace the sewer line, we do limited damage. It cuts our costs if we can do this well. So we're working through that. Did get notice, this is not in the report, but it's important. While we were sitting here, got a text from our Juno lobbyist. There's a chance that we got some grant funds from the state. I guess it's the one positive thing with all the price of oil going up is the state's got a little bit more money. Includes a $541,000 grant for the Aquatic Center sewer line and $1.1 million to the Petersburg School District for their security access control project. It's not a guarantee. There's a couple of steps that has to happen, but I'll take it as good news just because. Stephanie Payne helped Tyler Thane get elementary school students into the pool for one more round of water safety before the summer begins. Reminder, Parks and Rec staff will be closing the facility at 3 p.m. on Friday, May 15th to host events downtown for Little Norway. We've had a kind of a surprising surge of requests for permanent moorage, and the waiting list continues to grow as harbor is full. Our first tour ship arrived on Sunday. The numbers will pick up as we move into May. Thank you to Public Works, Waste water and wastewater departments setting up the portable bathrooms in the City Hall parking lot. Harbor seasonal cleanup has begun, treating wood floats, fire hosing the parking lots, and cleaning up the winter sand is taking extra effort this year. Crew has started painting and touching up parking and loading zones as the dry weather allows. Streets crew, just a big thank you to them, installed a disabled parking space at the Rec Aquatic Center. And we've got preventive maintenance ongoing at Motor Pool, and the street sweeper and the boom truck remain out of service pending arrival of repair parts. It may take us all summer to get all the sand up, especially with the sweeper down. Building maintenance completed installation of carport support beams for the police department. We addressed some plumbing issues at the police department and initiated cleaning and restoration of the water fountain at the museum. Pump Station 4 project is advancing with increased activity expected over the next 2 weeks and potential traffic impacts, and I think everybody's seen those notices. Please follow them if roads are announced as closed. We installed a remote telemetry unit, at the Baylor Pump Station to enhance SCADA monitoring. Water Department is working with RMC Engineering to resolve programming issues affecting plant startups. And the library received a grant from the Petersburg Community Foundation to assist with the purchase of a new self-check kiosk. Scow Bay Generator 2 project design is progressing with 95% plans due to borough by May 1st. Power and Light will be requesting consideration of a bond ordinance and ballot question to fully fund the construction. Steelhead Enterprises is being working on the storage building addition at the Scow Bay Pole Yard. Work will be completed in May. And Power and Light has been working with Parks and Rec to develop and then implement a plan for the ball field area lighting grant. Power and Light is working with McMillan to develop a scope of work for a feasibility study of the BESS system you've heard us talking about at the Blind Slough Hydro Project. A BESS would help reduce brownout occurrences. Power and Light is exploring a project to provide the public with electrical outage status updates through an SMS text messaging and email notifications. The system would be opt-in only. Preparations are underway by the mechanic for the June SEPA shutdown to ensure smooth, reliable operations. EPS will also be on site the week of the 11th to tune the Scow Bay 1 generator controls following emergency repairs can be completed this winter. I continue to work with Tidal on the sales contract. We had some concerns regarding contract language that sounds like maybe resolved in the next week or so. I'm not going to hold my breath until it happens, but we're keep getting closer. Haida Housing has been work on the airport addition expansion. Borough staff are working with their engineering firm and construction teams on getting the infrastructure completed. Aaron and Thomas will start working with Harai and Associates on the revisions to the borough standard specifications. I've asked them to work with Harai in focus on the road piece first to get us prepared for potentially the South Midcalf subdivision. And the borough's negotiating team has been meeting with members of PMEA to work on the new labor contract for the next 3 years. And on the issue of the Maritime Prosperity Zone, the reason Ketchikan and Wrangell are a little bit ahead of us is because it was sponsored by JAG Marine. The Marine Prosperity Zone is really more about shipbuilding and maintaining of bigger ships, which is really where the Coast Guard comes in. We've not heard any rumors of a Coast Guard mooring station happening in Wrangell, although I wish them the best for that. It's really more about repairs to the bigger Coast Guard ships going on. I have asked Liz and our federal lobbyists to kind of look into it, find out if there's a place for something like what Petersburg does at Scow Bay, and whether or not, and with Biston and Rudder, and whether or not that would have a benefit for us. Those kind of programs are often basically tax break systems for the private sector, which helps them want to do business with us. Somebody raising their hand? Okay. All right. And we did talk, Glo and I spoke through email with our federal lobbyist about the issues with the icebreakers. He feels that maybe down the road there's an opportunity, there's a second pass at creating icebreakers that may be an option for us. This first one, they want them farther north. But we don't have, the Coast Guard's notoriously quiet about the, you know, so we really don't know, but we've got an eye on it, and we've asked Seb to keep an eye on it and talk with the delegation. So anyway, that's my report.
Any questions for manager? Member Ricci?
Yeah, thank you. And you've touched on some of the things I wanted to talk about. You know that prosperity zone that they talked about? So that's just, so if I understand it, that JAG Marine is the outfit that is, has the ship repair or building unit that they're trying to put together that encompasses both Wrangell and Ketchikan?
Through the mayor. It, basically, it's the same company. So it was, it used to be Vigor. They were working on the ferries and potentially building the ferries. JAG Marine took them over, and they've got an outfit, you know, the big plant or facility in Ketchikan, and Wrangell's trying to build something similar in there in Wrangell. So we don't know. We hope it works out really well for them. I mean, it's a, it's something, but again, it's focused on larger ships.
In my discussions with the mayor and the manager there, and the mayor and the mayor in Ketchikan, it has to do the marine industrial, the zone has to do with marine industrial types of things like shipbuilding, ship repair, that type of thing. And what what Wrangell is trying to do was out at their site was to encourage JAG to come in with different kind of incentives to build some kind of a marine repair business there with ships and boats. That's the intent.
It's out the road at their old mill site.
Yes, it's out there, and they've filled that in. They've got a couple contracts. They had a bond. The Wrangell folks have approved a bond. I don't remember exactly how much it was, but it's significant. It's $5 million. It's quite high to be able to fill that in at the old site and to provide power out there. And I don't remember all the other details of it. And go ahead.
So just to follow up on that marine prosperity zone discussion, that's like for shipbuilding. That's not related to a possible Coast Guard housing here. It's just shipbuilding and repair only.
Yes.
And it's and again, Petersburg may, there may be a place for us there. We just don't know. It's not something we've looked into before. So again, I asked Liz and our federal lobbyists to talk with the delegation.
Yes, and in my discussion with them, they're mutually, I asked if it was declared a prosperity zone, if there was a financial incentive in any way, you know, that would help bring grants and that type of thing to our, you know, to the borough. The answer was no at that point in time. And I also asked Seb that question, by the way. So that's our lobbyist. And his answer there, and Goal and I've had discussions too, I believe, and they're mutually exclusive. We can go after one without the other, that type of thing. But as Steve says, at some point in time, if an industrialist wanted to come in and build it, we could actually move, make some changes. Any other questions for?
I do. I wasn't done yet. On the Tidal Network sales contract, are we close or just a couple language issues?
I'm going to be careful how I say something, so I apologize if I sound cryptic.
Yep.
The main issue is related to sovereign immunity.
Okay.
And we want them to waive that, and clearly, as a tribal entity, they don't want to.
Sure.
So our attorney has recommended some language. They've come back and said, we don't like it, and that's what stopped the meeting from being today, actually, because we said we're not giving in on how we view it. Tidal has agreed to go look at it with their counsel to see if there's room to change that language so it meets our needs. And I told them they have by basically May 11th to get it to us. So we'll see what happens.
Thank you. And my last one I had, Mr. Mayor, is I just wanted to thank Parks and Rec and Stephanie for that that water safety thing. I mean, I've got three little kids or three grandkids up there, and they all came home talking about water safety. And of all the things they're learning in school, for me, that's one of the real important things is water safety because they're on the water all the time. But I just wanted to say thanks to the people at Parks and Rec.
Thank you. Mr. Mazzella, I saw you there, but I'm going to pass by you at this point, and I want to move the agenda forward before I get before 5 o'clock here, if I can. And with that, I'm going to move on to unfinished business. And under unfinished business, we have one item, and that's Ordinance 2026-05, An ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adjusting the fiscal year 2026 budget for known changes. And this is the third last reading of it. And included in that is the Secure Rural School revenue. The federal government approved the Secure Rural School Reauthorization Act of 2025 on December 18, 2025. The borough received its fiscal year 24 payment on March 23, 2026 in the amount of $722,484 for Title I schools and roads. A letter from the state of Alaska is attached to the package. The second item on there was elderly housing, Fund 470. Funds are proposed for replacement of elderly housing 44-year-old dry sprinkler system valve and air compressor, which has exceeded their useful life. Details are included in the attached memorandum. In the fire department, to complete the funding of a new scuba tanks and masks to replace existing equipment. This expenditure was authorized by Resolution 2026-05, approved March 16, 2026. Again, the resolution is attached. The last item in that ordinance is wastewater outfall repair project, Fund 764. This added $275,000 in loan funding from the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation, as well as a $275,000 expense for the project. Ordinance 2026-05 was unanimously approved in its first and second readings. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2026-05?
So moved. Make a motion to approve Ordinance 2026-05 in its entirety.
Second.
As presented.
Moved by Member Newman, I think second by Member Mucci. Any discussion? Okay, with that, would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Greger?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Okay, and that passes 7-0. Moving on now to new business. Ordinance 2026-06, an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code Title 20, entitled Watershed Management, to update language and to account for borough incorporation. This is the first reading. If approved, this ordinance will update and codify existing watershed management regulations into the borough code, reflecting borough formation and continued protection for the City Creek and Cabin Creek water supply watersheds to safeguard water quality and quantity for Service Area 1. Do I have a motion to approve Ordinance 2026-06?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Stanton Greger, second by Member Schwartz. A discussion. Member Stanton Greger.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just briefly for those listening at home, and as always, Mr. Manager, correct me if I'm missing. There's definitely more of just a housekeeping thing going from City of Petersburg to Borough of Petersburg to update language, more of a housekeeping item.
Through the mayor, correct. We asked Carl to do what he could on some of these outstanding ordinances in the power and light and utility world that have not been converted to borough language. So he's working through them.
Right on. That's all I had for those listening at home. Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, would the clerk please call the roll on ordinance amending the Petersburg Municipal Code Title 20?
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Greger?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Okay. That ordinance passes 7-0. And the next item on there, an ordinance amending Petersburg Municipal Code Chapter 4.80 to adjust the marine passenger fee to address increased borough costs associated with services to an infrastructure for marine passenger vessel and their passengers. This is the first reading. If approved, this ordinance will amend the marine passenger fee by increasing the per passenger charge to address rising costs for public safety, harbor operations, sanitation, emergency response, and other borough services and infrastructure impacted by marine passenger vessels, while codifying the change in the municipal code with the increase effective January 1st, 2027. Do I have a motion to approve the increase in marine passenger fee.
I move to approve ordinance 2020-26-07 as written.
I'll second.
Been moved by Member Valentine, seconded by Member Mucci. Discussion. Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. When we were talking about this originally, I kind of went down from the community to community, and I'll just share with some of the information I had. Ketchikan enacted a marine passenger fee in 2025, and theirs is $13 a head, $10 for lighter passengers, and plus they get they're part of the state excise tax program. Wrangell doesn't have one, but they're part of the state excise tax. Juneau has a local one of $5, and they also have a $3 fee for port infrastructure, as well as the state excise tax. Haines charges $9. It's going to go up to $12 in 2027 and to $13 in 2029. Sitka has no dedicated head tax, but they are involved with the state excise tax. And Skagway has no dedicated head tax. But I think this is a good, I'm glad, thankful for Jody and the staff for putting this forward and for James for keeping on it. I think it's much needed. Looking forward to it. Thank you.
Any other comments, questions? Okay, hearing none, would the clerk please call the roll?
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And that also passes 7-0. Moving on is ordinance 2026-08, an ordinance updating chapter 14.16 of the municipal code entitled Electric Utility. This is the first reading. This ordinance will update electric utility rates and charges for fiscal year 2027 to ensure Petersburg Municipal Power and Light can fully cover operating expenses, inflation, capital needs, reserve requirements, and debt-covered obligations, while maintaining reliable electric service and codifying the revised rates and fees to the municipal code. A member from Director Hegerman is attached. Do I have a motion to approve the electric utility rates change?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, moved by Member Stanton Gregor, seconded by Member Valentine. Member Stanton Gregor.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Couple things. First of all, for Director Hagerman, thank you for the thorough memo attached explaining the logic for fiscal year 2027 and why these increases make sense. I will be voting yes, but we spoke some about it earlier, Carl, but I mean, as you mentioned before, we're second or third lowest in the state for utility for electrical rates, so that's great, although no person, myself included, like seeing their rates go up. I also like knowing I've got secure infrastructure in my electrical utility, and that, to put it simply, the lights stay on, and that we're well-staffed, et cetera. This isn't quite germane to the issue, so I'm going to bend just briefly. As of right now, Mr. Mazzella is moving forward with Green Spark, but, you know, business happens. We don't, you know, either happen if it will. But for the sake of discussion, and again, I think you touched on it earlier, although no guarantees, but let's say over the next fiscal year that goes through, that could have either reduce or decrease increases in the future outside of, you know, we're talking about fiscal year 2027 right now, but looking down the line, that could really mitigate some of those increases, yes?
Through the mayor, yes, that's correct.
Okay. I felt rhetorical. I just want to make sure it got said. That said, though, since there are no guarantees in business, and I will be voting yes on this because it is conservative and prudent to make sure these all the things listed there are being covered. So I just thank you for your diligence in getting this before us.
Thank you. Other questions from assembly members? No. Would the clerk please call the roll?
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Newman?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes. And that ordinance passes 7-0. Moving on to the last item under new business here. An ordinance 2026-09. An ordinance of the Petersburg Borough adopting the budget for the fiscal year July 1st, 2026 through June 30th, 2027. This is the first reading. If approved, this ordinance will adopt the fiscal year 2027 operating budget for the Petersburg Borough. And for the public knowledge, we had the assembly had a workshop with staff last week to go through it in some detail. And with that, do I have a motion to approve the budget on the first reading?
So moved.
Second.
Moved by Member Mucci, seconded by Member Nguyen. Discussion. Okay, Member Stan Gregor.
Yeah, just briefly, I want to thank staff all the way across the board, department heads, for getting us a balanced budget. I know with some state and federal uncertainty, that wasn't an easy task. I know that it's clearly recognized. I'll be voting yes in the first reading. As a predecessor of mine, Nancy Strand, always said, she looks forward to hearing from the public during the public hearing part of this. So if there are any amendments that I'll be making, I'll wait till after I hear from that. Thank you.
Member Martin?
Yeah, thanks for that work session last week. That was very helpful for me, my first one. And same with Vice Mayor. I'll be probably have some questions next reading.
Thank you. Any other questions? Would the clerk please call the roll on the next year's budget?
Member Mucci?
Yes.
Mayor Lynn?
Yes.
Vice Mayor Stanton Gregor?
Yes.
Member Martin?
Yes.
Member Valentine?
Yes.
Member Nguyen?
Yes.
Member Schwartz?
Yes.
Okay, and that the budget on the first reading, it passes 7-0. The communications from the last 2 weeks are in the package, and I'll not go through those. And I'm going to move on to assembly discussion items. Under that is the first item is Scow Bay Fire Station and Training Facilities. And that item was asked for Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. With the leaseholder contracts being terminated and asking those businesses to vacate in a manner so that we can get ready to get that Scow Bay area, I'm trying to sort out what the steps would be to move the training facilities out of Scow Bay. Is there a possibility, several questions here, would it be possible to move those to the 14th Street facility that Wastewater has and to find a home for them up by the current fire hall up on Haugen? So I was just curious how that thought process moves forward.
Manager, like to address the discussions we've had?
Mayor and I met with Glow Liz and Aaron Hankins to talk about, you know, what do we do in the future? So the Scow Bay development doesn't coexist well with the training material. So we're going to move the training stuff out of there as part of the construction. We will locate it up at the 14th Street pole yard for storage purposes, but we have to find a future location for that. We don't have it yet. We'll keep talking about it. It's got a set of, you know, we need water access. We want it on a road. The pad has to be heavy duty enough that it'll take a fully loaded fire truck or two. So we keep coming up with ideas, and then one reason or another, they're shot down for not being enough for what we need. So we'll keep at it. I don't know if we'll get it done in time, but we're going to keep at it. And hopefully we'll kind of find a location that will allow us to, and if the fire hall is location, the challenge with the fire hall location is when we built this facility, we talked about relocating the PD down there, and the cost to build the rock fill, the base was over $1 million a lot of years ago. So that's the challenge. We don't have $1 million to spend to build that up down there. So we're trying to find a lot that would be a little cheaper to develop, and we haven't come across one yet. So,
and that would, I would add to that two other things is that the discussion was also temporary versus permanent. I'd like to have something permanent, but you don't know. But then the cost of that, and then other places I think that were looked at, there was no water, and so you would have to bring water in for some considerable distance. and you're looking at $1 million in addition for that too. Go ahead.
Yeah, just to follow up on, you know, the $1 million thing, you know, I know we were looking at helping American Cruise Lines with their dock facility, and I don't know if it's a possibility, but would there be, and you can tell me at a later time, but would there be the possibility of borrowing money from another department as a loan and paying that loan back as with interest to help bridge that gap?
Yes, the assembly can borrow money from enterprise funds, but it has to be paid back with interest.
Yes.
And that's an assembly level decision. Can it be done? Yes, we've done it before or talked about it before, but it has to be paid back with interest, and it definitely has to be paid back. So, fire department is a general fund, so it'd be the general fund borrowing from an enterprise fund, having to pay it back, which hurts the general fund having to pay interest. So anyway.
Great, thank you.
Yeah.
And the other part of that, Member Mucci, is we were talking about is if we had a plan, then we could also look at possible grants or other options. But we staff has some more work to do, and that's what they're chasing around right now. We'd hope to have something to bring back here, you know, in another month or so.
Plan was to meet again.
Yeah.
And kind of go through some of the ideas that folks had.
Great. Thank you.
Okay. Second item on the agenda is Petro Marine Property. Harbor Department use. The item was requested by Member Mucci.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. You know, when we're talking about this data center potentially going in over here on the Ocean Beauty Dock or the property that Mr. Marzella, is there going to be a need to move harbor equipment from that area to a different place? I know in the past we've looked at the Petro Marine property as a place to store stuff, and I don't know if that is back on in the conversation about a possible use for a place to store harbor equipment. And I'm just throwing it out there.
So if you ask Glo, she's going to say it's never been not off her list. but the last vote of the assembly was do not move forward with it. So if the assembly wants to address that, then you have to put an action item on an agenda and instruct us to do so.
I understand that. Thank you.
Yep. Anything else on that item?
Thank you.
Member Stanton Gregor?
Yeah, I would just chime in. Like, I guess it'd be for Glo or the manager. I don't think the Mr. Mazzella's project necessitates moving the current equipment, though, from where it sits in Middle Harbor right now, though, would it? That's on borough property, if I believe.
Not that I know of.
That's what I thought. Just wanted to clarify. Thank you.
And we still have the option. The Harbor Master also has the option of looking at other sites, too, for storage of equipment and, you know, looking for a building if they chose to do so. Moving on here, use of electric vehicles for borough fleet. This agenda item, again, was requested by Member Mucci.
Yes, I've had several people when we were talking about the solar farms out the road, and somebody says, well, what about, has the borough looked at electric vehicles? And I know they're fire hazards, but that was the question, and I figured we'd get an answer so that I could not have to worry about that as well. Thank you.
Alaska Marine Lines, the barge service, will not take an electric vehicle. They had a big fire. They won't take them anymore. And the ferry is very limited. I think it's two vehicles per trip. And even then, I've heard rumors of people here in town who have electric vehicles who can't get them off the island for repairs. We are not looking into electric vehicles until that whole world gets a little more stable and can work with kind of our needs.
Thank you very much. And the other two items that are on there, Mr. Mayor, we've talked about them at length, and so I'm good to go.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Member Stan Greger.
Thank you. If with your permission, on the Maritime Prosperity Zones, I saw Mr. Mazzella had his hand up earlier, and I believe he'd reached out to the clerk wanting to clarify something. Would that be okay if he just chimed in for a quick second?
I was referring to the mayor, yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to not push this on, so I was
cool.
I was shutting. I asked him not to.
So you'd like to move on?
Yeah, and I'm going to hold where I'm at.
Okay.
Okay, moving on here. Assembly member comments. Does any assembly member have comments?
Mr. Mayor, I do. I have
okay.
one.
Member Mucci.
Yeah, I want to thank the electrical, Carl and Steve, and for their patience and answering my questions. I know, I'm sure Carl's tired of hearing from me. I won't send any more 2 o'clock in the morning emails to you wondering what the heck is going on here, but I appreciate your patience and answering all my questions. I really do, and I mean that sincerely. Thank you.
Schwartz.
Oh, just I was thinking about Mr. Torson and his service and lifelong resident, raising kids here, raising family, and his service to the community. And then I was reminiscing about he was on the 1980 state wrestling champion team. So congratulations, Derek. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, by all means, to all the employees, yes, retired. Anything, any other comments? Member Stan Greger.
Yeah, just a brief recognition of Mr. John Haverlick. Bumped into him in the post office, and they're planning a move south to be closer to family, which I totally get. Mr. Haverlick is, on a personal note, is the reason I have a small business in town. At the time, he wanted to really promote small business, so we were looking for office space, and he's like, well, $100 a month or 10%, whatever's less. So as a new business, he just more or less gave us the space, built us the space, in fact. And we've been in business going on 17 years now, and that's because of John Haverlick. We were looking to at several different locations, some of them not here in Petersburg, and I'm very grateful on a professional level to just hit money to support small businesses in the community. And on a second recognition, and I don't know if this is a thank you to John or not, but Mr. Haverlick was the one who convinced me to originally run for the assembly. John was seated here at the time, and there was an open seat, and he encouraged me to put my name in, and I did, and got shot down. And then he's like, he apologized, like, I thought you were going to get appointed. We didn't. That's the way those things go. And a year later, he came up to me and said, I really think you'd be good at this role. I'd like to serve with you. And so Mr. Haverlick has shaped my life in several different ways, and just wanted to publicly recognize that goofy son of a gun, Mr. John Haverlick. Appreciate you, sir. Thanks.
Other recognitions, Member Newman.
Yeah, recently, last week, I had the wonderful privilege of playing baseball against the Petersburg Viking High School baseball team, and I was not just the impressed by like an 80-mile-an-hour fastball, but also the wonderful program that Coach Ingle has been working very hard on for quite a few years, and a bunch of really outstanding, fine young men.
Decades.
Yep. Yeah.
Thank you. Member Mucci?
Yeah, one more recognition. I wanted to thank Parks and Rec and Public Works and the street guys for figuring out the handicap parking spot up behind the community gym. There was a request from community members about trying to make it more accessible, and I think it was great that the department heads put their heads together and figured out a solution to an issue that was a concern of the community members. I just wanted to say thank you.
Are there any other recognitions? Do I have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Moving to second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Meeting is adjourned.
Nice work, Mayor.
Recording stopped.